Sunday, it's a Cubs and Bulls mega doubleheader on The Score. First, Cubs-Rockies live at 1:35.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Followed immediately by Bulls-Bucks in Game 1 of the NBA playoffs at 5:40.
Got it! Ball game over!
On 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR in HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. An Odyssey station.
The Score!
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy Simplify. For White Sox fans, you don't have to have a subscription for Apple TV Plus to watch the game. Like, it'll just be there, but you're going to get inundated on why you should have a subscription to Apple TV Plus. So just know that it's going to be a broadcast that's trying to give a podcast feel to it, and that you don't have to give a subscription. If you have a smart TV or a tablet, you can just download the app and you'll be able to watch your White Sox play the Tampa Rays.
It's a big day. It's a big day for the tech savvy in White Sox fan nation. To be ready to be a hero, you're going to have to be a hero multiple times over today and tonight.
Yep.
You're going to field a lot of texts, a lot of panicked phone calls. If I were you, I would write it out like in a notes app or something like that. Just your standardized response with instructions, perhaps a link to the app store, something like that. So you can just cut and paste and respond when Uncle Tony crazily and haplessly begs you for guidance.
Well, he should be managing the teams. I'm hoping that he's not watching the game.
Well, if he is managing the teams, you know,
I would pay money.
Move Leury Garcia either out of the lineup or down to nine at the very least, Uncle Tony.
I would pay money to see Tony La Russa explain how to watch the White Sox game tonight.
I would like to sit there and watch him after a couple of beverages try to figure out how to stream the game.
It would be, you know, hilarious. Oh, that voice is the voice of Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins is off today.
Danny Parkins is off today because that man is a proud father of two.
Of two!
Congratulations to Danny.
But mostly Steph.
And Steph.
But mostly Steph.
And also Owen, who I'm sure did wonderful work. But yes, no, it's all Steph. But man, you know, last time Owen was very premature and they had to spend a lot of time in the NICU. And this time, no.
Yep.
Hopefully very, very healthy, kind of normal regimen. The baby is born young. Elijah here during Passover.
Eli's coming.
Eli is coming. That's absolutely true. Eliyahu Hanavi for the Jews out there. Eli is here. Eli Parkins. And congratulations to all. And everybody's doing well, doing healthy. And they're hoping to like have like kind of a normal hospital experience this time where they can be there for a day or two and then go home.
Then bring their baby home.
All of them actually go home.
To their other baby.
What a novel approach.
How about that?
Yes.
Congratulations to Steph, mostly. And Danny.
And Danny for all the hard work. I'm thinking about Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel, which we've done for football picks.
Trying to get Eli in on it earlier.
I need another kid. You know, right now, what do we do? Parkins versus Parkins versus Parkins versus Spiegel versus Spiegel versus nobody?
Well,
what the hell, man?
Maybe you should bring in another Spiegel instead of bringing in another life to the world.
I do have a big pile of Spiegels.
There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
You can get them in on the action.
Just grab one of them. Hey, this Spiegel is 56. They want in, okay? It's not a kid.
Think that how much fun it could be, though.
Get Herbie Baby in there? Get Papa?
If he were to lose to a young Parkins, that could be some, Shane, that could be some Cracker Jack content.
I don't know, man. It's like, already, I think it's a little bit of a stretch to get the 21-month-old Owens picks. Although we've heard his language skills elevate along the way.
Go Bears.
Yeah, exactly. So congratulations to the Parkinses. And he'll be out on paternity leave for a while. So I will be here. I'm here solo today as I was yesterday. But starting next week, I'll have partners.
You gonna have some friends?
Mark Grody will be in.
Groats
will be in a bunch of times. I'm gonna work with Gabe Ramirez a couple of times. I'm looking forward to that.
You should.
Hopefully Anthony Herron a time or two in there as well. So yeah, it'll be fun, man. And obviously Shane and Tanny will be here. And the mob will be hanging around. And looking forward to Parkins and Spiegel without Parkins for a couple of weeks. I don't mean I'm looking forward to that part of it. That came out wrong.
Wow, Dr. Freud. Man, I'm really looking forward to doing this radio show without my partner.
It's like the time me and Danny had Joe Buck on recently, and I said, Joe, what's it like to work with friends?
Wow.
That's not what I said, really.
Danny, is this what happens every day on the show?
Just little. You know, for better or for worse, it's what we are. It's our family here.
Okay.
Our
afternoon family. Dysfunctional.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it's love. Nothing but love. I'm thrilled for the family, Parko. So on we go on a Friday. And we've got a fun show today, man. Steve Stone is on in 1 hour. Our first crack at Steve Stone at 3:30. Ricky Williams is on this show today.
What?
Ricky Williams, the former Heisman winner, who now owns a company called Heisman, H-I-G-H,
yes.
Owns a cannabis company. But the always incredibly thoughtful and interesting Ricky Williams on this show today, and he doesn't know it, but we are going to surprise him towards the end of the interview with his old coach, Dave Wanstead. So we're going to call Wani and see if these guys ever shared a mango flavored beverage together.
Mango?
Of any kind. So
that's love a
tease
that,
for right? All you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so that should be fun. Ricky Williams and Wani. And then also from the aforementioned Apple TV Plus broadcast, Chris Young is going to be on. Doesn't Chris Young represent kind of the one that got away for White Sox fans of a certain age and era?
A little bit.
Because there was a time there where Kenny Williams only drafted toolsy outfielders who were raw but had the ability to possibly do everything. And they kept a lot of them, and most of them stunk. And then they traded one away for Javier Vasquez, and it was Chris Young, and he was real good for a while in Arizona.
Javier Vasquez experience. You never knew what you were going to get, because it was either you're going to see a guy that you go, man, he's got all the stuff. He's got all the things.
Mm.
Or he had no command that day and he walked the yard.
Right.
Did he throw a no hitter in his career?
Javi
Vasquez? Like a one hitter where he walked like seven people.
Mm.
That was Edwin Jackson,
oh,
who they
right.
also
oh,
acquired.
Jackson. That's right.
He was E-Jax. Also a Diamondback.
Ejax had a no-hitter where he walked like eight people. Like, that's bad. But Vasquez, yes, was the tantalizing talent. And every time out, you go, he's got no-hitter type stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's also got done in 3 1/3 type stuff.
Yeah, he could be that. He could be absolutely be that guy. I had to make sure.
Is his record still completely, like, is almost perfectly .500? And I know that we don't deal in pitching records anymore.
But it made sense for Javier Vasquez.
It was exactly who he was.
And what you actually lived through. Do you know he works for Tony Clark and the Major League Baseball Players Association?
I do, because I watched a lot of those press conferences during the lockout. And I was like, hey, look who that is.
Mm-hmm.
It's Javier Vasquez.
So, yeah, he was a guy who helped Tony Clark communicate with and to the international players. I bet he was in a unique position in trying to sell Latin American players on the international draft, which was a very, very difficult conversation and debate to have with a lot of them.
Yeah, and it's funny how that was a wedge issue, and then it kind of wasn't. And then we just got back to baseball, and it was like, mm-hmm. Did you see the quotes from Chris Bryant yesterday? Chris Bryant was, because the Cubs are playing the Rockies.
Yeah.
And so he said that he's mad that they didn't change. He was joking. He's mad that they didn't make it the Chris Bryant rule now. He's like, after everything I've been through, you would have thought that it'd be the Chris Bryant rule. He's like, Shohei got a rule. I want a rule.
That guy, Buddy the Elf, is in a very happy and healthy place. All he wants to do is show up and play baseball and get paid for it with low stakes.
Frankly. Well, he's got that now.
He's got the low stakes, and maybe the stakes will rise, but, you know.
The stakes is high.
It's some happy people some happy people in that organization. Very happy to have him. Did you see that he's allowed to park at the owner's spot? See that a few days ago?
Well, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, Dick Monfort's like, yeah, go ahead and use my spot one time. And so he pulled up in this gigantic Ford truck, did Chris Bryant, parked in the owner's spot and said, it's good to be me, as he was walking away.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Played in six games for them, has six hits. That ballpark is ridiculous, man.
It is, and you saw it on display in last night's game.
Yeah, you did.
How ridiculous that ballpark is.
Everybody thinks it's a homer-friendly park, and it is. Mm-hmm. It's top five. It's top five in homer-friendliness.
It's a doubles park and a triples park.
And a singles park. It is by far the number one ballpark in terms of park factor for singles. By far. Because people play deep and they're expecting deep flies, and then that middle is just wide open. It's second in doubles. I looked this stuff up for Beat the Streak this morning because everybody, like I had Nick Madrigal last night. My wife had Seiya Suzuki last night. Ryan Porth had Chris Bryant last night. Like Jose Iglesias is very high on the hit probability charts just because he happens to be on Colorado and he's going to hit high in the order. So it's number one for singles, Coors Field, number two for doubles. Behind, got a guess on what's number one for doubles? Think a big giant wall.
Detroit?
Fenway.
Fenway.
Fenway is number one for doubles.
Because you hit it 320 feet, it goes off a wall, you got two bases.
Exactly. Bounces away from somebody, you got your two bases, plus the weird triangle out there in the center.
That's why I was thinking of Detroit, because that triangle, is that the number one triples park?
Yes! Comerica is your number one triples park. So isn't that fun?
You got that angle and the ball like,
yeah,
you jump around like pinball sometimes out there.
And then your top five, I might not remember them in order, but your top five for home runs. Cincinnati is number one.
Yeah.
Great American Ballpark is number
one. Chris Bryant will tell you all about that place.
Oh, yes, he will. Guaranteed Rate is in the top five in terms of home run friendly ballparks.
I'm not surprised.
Dodger Stadium is up there, too.
But usually during the daytime, right? Isn't that when more of the we can look it up.
Yeah. And then Coors was also in there, and there was one more. It might have been Fenway. I forget in the top five. But yeah, Coors is ridiculous, as you saw last night.
Yeah, it was crazy, like watching that game. I was joking earlier because Cole Wright and Ryan Sweeney had thrown out a parlay in the pregame. And the parlay was Justin Steele over 3.5 strikeouts. Nick Madrigal, 2+ hits.
Uh-oh, he only had one, right?
No, he had two.
He did have two? Okay.
Frank Schwindel, 2+ RBIs. Got them all. $20 would have won you $314.
Oh, man. And did they play it? Did he ask Cole?
I threw it out there because I was watching the game, and I looked up, and I was like, oh. Because in the first inning, you had Madrigal get a hit and Schwindel get an RBI. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, we're in play.
Yeah.
Like, this is in play to happen now.
I assume he's still lucid. If Pete Rose is still lucid right now and can have conversations at 81 years old, what is he thinking as he sees pregame shows giving out parlay picks, right? As he's hearing Ron Coomer do spots for BetMGM in the middle of Cubs games, right? As he's like, as all of us are inundated, Lawrence, Dinger Tuesdays are a thing, man.
Hello, sir, who plays, has a whole podcast.
It's not about gambling, though. That's just about hitting. Beat the Streak. It's a hitting podcast.
Yeah, there's no $5.7 million prize at the end of it at all.
Yeah, no, there is. There is.
What was your highest one?
My highest streak?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just rolling right now. So remember, I come at this from the perspective of a dude who's never played.
Right.
So I'm at six. I'm sitting at six right now.
Mine was 32.
Wow. What did that feel like?
It was stressful as hell.
I bet it was.
Because at that point, like, I never got excited until you got halfway. Like, it was cool because we would do this every day on 120/Stadium Sports.
Got you.
We'd have a list every day. So me, Michael Kim, Tyler, Laura, we would all have this. And I was like, I'm not going to get excited until I get to 28. And then I got to 32. And then you're so nervous.
Oh,
you're,
man,
like, do I do the double?
Yeah.
Or do I just find the one guy that I feel like is going to get a hit. Because there's nothing worse than you play Beat the Streak, and then you're like, all right, I'm going to double up today. I'm going to go with Trout, and I'm going to go
Juan Soto.
Yeah. And then one of them gets a hit and the other one doesn't. You're like, I should have just played a single today.
How about this? A lot of people like to play Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He went hitless two nights in a row in Yankee Stadium. Then he went 4-for-4 with 3 home runs. And then last night, hitless again with the golden sombrero. He struck out 4 times. Freaking baseball, man.
Yep.
Hitting is hard.
It's like playing Sammy Watkins in fantasy football. You don't know. You could have the game where he goes for a 189 and 3 touchdowns, or the game where he gets 2 targets and no catches.
Man, it's worth remembering, by the way, today on Jackie Robinson Day, here the 75th anniversary of his debut in 1947, that guy could hit.
Yes.
Like, not just, you think of him obviously as the man he was, the legend he was, and you know, whether it was willing or sometimes unwilling, the incredibly important historical icon he ended up being. And as a ball player, you think of defensive versatility, incredible base running with the stolen bases.
Stealing home
legendarily. I saw that quote circulating today where he was like, I was just tired of waiting. It was time. He just felt it and went. Just incredible instincts to steal home underneath the tag from Yogi Berra. But also, Jackie finished with a career batting average of .313.
That's pretty good. Was he 887 career OPS?
That's a higher career batting average than Ichiro Suzuki.
Wow.
Or Miguel Cabrera, who's obviously still going. But higher than Ichiro, that's the one that stopped me cold. And then 1949, the season you were talking about, the MVP season, he had .342 with an OPS of .960.
That'll work.
Beat out Stan Musial for the MVP in 1949.
That's where my picture is him at Wrigley Field. Here, I'll bring it over to you. I'll show you.
Yeah, please. Was that the first time at Wrigley? Was 49? Or was it later than that? So tell me about the etymology of this picture. There's Jackie Robinson at Wrigley Field. That is absolutely awesome.
So when I was working over at 120/Stadium Sports, I was working with a guy named Dylan McGordy. Shout out to Dylan McGordy. He's a funny dude, comedian, musician, all around. Actually, you and Dylan would be hilarious. You should actually have him on the, if you can get him to do it, you should have him on the podcast for Beat the Streak.
Okay.
He was big into getting me into Beat the Streak. His father used to watch our show every day. And I really liked the McGordys overall. And we used to talk baseball online and offline. And he's like, I think you'll like these pictures. And then he sent them to me for my birthday.
Oh, man.
So I have the actual photograph of Jackie at home, but I did a digital version for people on Twitter and on Instagram.
That's really, really cool. Cause that's, and I don't know if that was the first time that Jackie was there at Wrigley. No, because he was there Sunday, 1947 was the first time. Wow, look at that. That's tremendous. Because what I always think of on this day, well, tell people what you just showed me.
That
there, yeah.
It's a mural of Jackie Robinson in the Mount Royal area of Montreal. And I went searching for it while I was there because, you know, he was playing in Montreal before he started to play for Brooklyn. And there's this just gorgeous mural of him. It's so beautiful. Like, the concept of it, the execution of it, the way people in Montreal now talk about Jackie Robinson. It's part of the reason why I have a love affair with this city. Like, being able to talk to random people in Montreal about Jackie Robinson and having these like kind of full conversation was great. So it became like a hunt. Like, I love street art anyway, and finding murals in different cities. And finding that one, I stared at it for 30 minutes. It's really, really beautiful.
Wow.
It's by, I forget the name of the famous deli that's there in Montreal, but it's like right down the street from that. It blew my mind, like absolutely blew my mind. So yeah, I posted that picture on Twitter and on Instagram as well, at Lawrence W. Holmes, if you want to see it.
That's
Schwartz's
awesome.
Deli.
Thank you very much, Shane. Yes, it's like 2 buildings down from Schwartz's Deli in Montreal. So
That's
if you ever
awesome.
Go there, like walk a little bit further up the street and you will see the Jackie Robinson mural.
That's really cool. Because on this day, I always end up thinking about the Mike Royko column that he wrote in 1972 on the day that Jackie Robinson died. And he wrote it about when he was a kid, when Mike Royko, the legendary columnist, was a kid in 47. And he heard the old wise men of his neighborhood, who liked to sit on chairs on the sidewalk outside the tavern, talk about this one guy and how he was going to ruin baseball. This guy, Jackie, was going to ruin baseball. And the young Royko was like, I didn't understand this stuff, but it sounded terrible. And baseball was the most important thing in the world. So what was that about? So he goes to Wrigley on the 18th of May, 1947, for Jackie's first game. And he sees what he ends up finding out is a crowd of 47,000 with tens of thousands of black people coming up to the white north side to go and experience Jackie. And how they came by the thousands, and they weren't wearing baseball hats. They were wearing church clothes, funeral clothes, suits. And this was like his first exposure to black culture en masse like this, and how cool they were, how kind they were, how the impact that it had on him to feel all these people together watching the game. Then Jackie Robinson's foul balls got cheered at one point, you know, and just...
Wow.
And he realized that day, at one point, he got a foul ball and he turned around and an old black man who'd been super emotional the whole game said to him, "Would you sell that ball to me?" And he didn't want to give up the ball, but the man said, "I'll give you $10. And he peeled off 10 $1 bills and gave it to young Mike Royko for that baseball. And Royko said he walked out that day thinking about the whole experience and said, "There's no way that Jackie Robinson is bad for baseball. Those old wise men in my neighborhood must not know anything," you know?
It's amazing when children make that realization about the world.
Right? That moment when you realize, oh, no, those people don't know jack squat. And how is this bad? I just experienced this wonderful day with all these people from different cultures together, and I made $10 on a baseball.
Shane, how much is $10 in 1947 dollars worth now?
Seriously, imagine how hard that man probably worked for that $10.
Because getting peeled off $10 in 1947 as a kid.
$128.93.
That's so great.
Yeah, and Royko wrote in 72, is like, "Since then I've regretted a few times I didn't keep the ball or that I hadn't just given it to him for free. I didn't know then how hard he probably had to work for that $10, but Tuesday I was glad I had sold it to him. And if that man is still around and has that baseball, I'm sure he thinks it was worth every cent."
There's no doubt about it.
Right?
That is now a family heirloom.
For sure. And just the power of Jackie's presence in like changing minds and just opening people's perspectives, you know, it's very important stuff. And I'm glad it's getting celebrated today. At noon today in New York, they lit up the Empire State Building, blue and white, Dodger blue and white, and put 42 up there.
Nice.
On the Empire State Building.
Get a little trolley Dodger action going on there.
Right? Let's go. Have a good weekend, Lawrence Holmes.
Thank you. I plan on it. I'm going to be watching some baseball tonight, and I love the Rays. I think the Rays are still in a position to be a championship level team. So I'm looking forward to them and the White Sox getting it on this weekend.
There you go. Watch Wander Franco.
Dude, how can you keep your eyes off of him?
Unbelievable.
Speaks, have a wonderful weekend. I'll see everybody on Monday at noon.
Deal. Thank you. That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Matt Spiegel. It is Parkins and Spiegel this afternoon. Me and Shane and Tanny hanging out while Papa Danny relaxes and enjoys, hopefully gets a little skin-to-skin time with his young baby boy, Eli. We'll come back. Tanny's Open kicks us off on The Score next.